Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Intimates, your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team get one-on-one and go intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Ali and I'm joined by Cameron.
We're getting right down personal.
Are we?
Yeah, real intimate.
I didn't agree to that.
You invited me into your intimate space, so...
I'm already regretting it.
Yay! So regret everything.
Yeah, on this week's show, we want to talk about the microtransaction patch. And by that, I mean when a video game releases, and then later down the line, maybe a week, maybe a month, they release a patch which includes microtransactions into the game, introduces them for the first time.
Yep.
Now, the reason this is kind of coming to the forefront is because Call of Duty Black Ops 4 has fallen prey to this tactic. They have enabled microtransactions on the PS4 version with the Xbox One and PC versions soon to follow.
Call of Duty Black Ops 4 is not having the smoothest post-launch.
Did we expect it to? I mean, it is Activision. They're pretty terrible.
They've never had anything that riled people up this much this often.
Sure.
Like, I feel like I keep hearing about something they've done to annoy gamers every week since it launched. Leading up, you hear a lot of things, but since launch, usually they quiet down and everyone just has a good time.
And one of the absolute most hot button issues right now is the concept of loot boxes and microtransactions.
Yep.
Every gamer knows about this at this point. They know how toxic loot boxes and microtransactions can be, how predatory they can be.
Government bodies are getting involved.
Yep.
Like, when it starts to affect outside the world outside of gaming, then it's really making waves.
I remember at E3 2018, people would make announcements, and this game has no microtransactions. A round of applause from the audience.
There's
like,
one.
Cheers.
I think they did it for Dying Light 2. And you can see the crowd in the peripheral of the screen, and they actually like stand up and clap.
Yeah.
Like standing ovation for, we're not going to try and get more money out of you once you buy the game.
Yeah. So basically a microtransaction, for those unaware, is when you spend real money to get in-game currency that you can then spend on other things. So whether that's purchasing cosmetics or purchasing power-ups for your character or purchasing loot boxes, which are a randomized kind of system where you don't quite know what you're going to get, those are microtransactions.
Yeah. And the name comes from back when microtransactions would be like a dollar, $2 to pick up a little thing here and there.
Yeah.
Like you'd get a little in-game thing,
micro,
a little costume.
Sure.
You know, small, doesn't mean much. Never impacted the same price that you would pay for the game. These days, you can find microtransactions that cost more than a base game, which is...
insane.
Insane.
Yep.
I cannot fathom that.
So Call of Duty Black Ops 4 has introduced Call of Duty points, which can be
purchased. Hate that already.
Right, it's annoying, isn't it? But this isn't the first Call of Duty game that has had Call of Duty points. Like, this is not a new thing, unfortunately. But these points can be spent on Nebulum. Yeah, this is a weird word. Nebulum Plasm in the Zombies mode. Special Order in Black Ops, the Black Market. Wow, I just can't talk today, apparently. That's okay.
Today?
Keep moving. Thanks, Cameron.
That's all right. I'm always here to support you.
And they can also advance through the Black Market tiers, unlocking additional cosmetics by purchasing these Call of Duty points. People are upset. Reddit has gone crazy, as they tend to do, when they figured out that in order to get to the top tier of the Black Market, you have to spend $200 of real money or spend 250 plus in-game hours to grind to get to that point.
Ridiculous. Here's a rule of thumb, right? Maybe, like... if it has a comparative amount of grind that you require to get to that, it should be... the grind should be less than a dollar an hour.
is that your rule?
I feel like that... I still am against this.
Is that your time worth, a dollar an hour?
In gaming world, yeah, because I'm not really getting much productive done. Like, let's be honest. It'd probably be worth 5 cents versus me going to work. But, like, if you say to me $200 but $250 plus grind... that the comparativeness, I'm just like, that's crazy. I still think spending $200 in a game that you've already paid to own, and then let's be like, you also need to own for Black Ops 4 on PlayStation, at least you also need to subscribe to PlayStation Plus. You can't play it without. So you've then got a subscription fee. Now we're going to also throw in the chance to buy things. Now this is someone who, I have a full-time job and I play a lot of Overwatch. And I, during an event at the end, will sometimes pick myself up some loot boxes. Because I am time poor, and sometimes I like to just grab them because I can afford it.
Sure.
But I have limits. Yourself. Yeah, I treat myself, but I have my limits. I never buy, like, more. I go, well, I never buy more than this. You know, I never buy more than I know is a safe amount. And I cut myself and go, right, I got what I got. Fine.
Cut yourself off. Yeah. I would hope.
Yeah, cut myself off.
Yeah.
Oh, did I say cut myself?
You did. Oh. That's okay.
No, not that. Cut myself off. Like, I know where the line is. I buy, like, maybe 15 because you get them in the packs, mm-hmm. and that's it. And that's only if there's an event.
50?
No, that's actually not that expensive.
Okay.
Like, 50 is $20.
Right.
Yeah. It's not it's not expensive.
I mean, it sounds like extravagant it spending
does.
To
it
me.
It does, but it's not. And so, I'll grab that, and at the end of the... At the end of the event, I'll go through them. Usually, especially ones if there's like something I really want and I've not had much time to play the event.
Yeah.
But like that is the worst I've done with microtransactions.
Yeah, and I guess the counterpoint to this or what people who support microtransactions would say is, well, you don't have to engage in them. You don't have to spend this money. It's additional extras. Don't bother. But the problem is that so many games have received such flack for having these kind of microtransaction systems in their game that the new trend is to release your game without them.
Yep.
And then later down the line, that's when you put them in. And that's kind of what we want to talk about is that trend and why that is forming. Because it does feel sneaky. Sea of Thieves added microtransactions about 3 months after it launched, allowing users to purchase things
and
such as
pets. And the one person still playing was shocked.
Oh, take that, Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, I know, right?
Battlefield 5 will receive cosmetic microtransactions after its launch. Both Gran Turismo Sport and Forza 6 added microtransactions after launch. And here's an interesting one. Whilst WWE 2K19 doesn't contain any microtransactions as of right now, our reviewer Rachel mentioned in her review that it feels like it's completely built for them and she'd be not surprised at all if they flicked the switch and microtransactions were in it.
Concerning.
It is concerning. It's the trend at the moment.
So here's the thing. So the Battlefield 5 one you mentioned that it's cosmetic microtransactions. With Black Ops 4, this stuff that you get, does this allow you to buy stuff that will actually give you an edge in the game?
Not in the PvP. So the zombies mode, which is PvE,
yep.
Yes.
Okay.
But PvP, no.
And that's all just skins and such as well, right?
Yeah, it's all the stuff you can get in the black market, which is, as far as I'm aware,
rocket launchers,
straight cosmetics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we're talking about digital black market in the game. Okay, sorry. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not heroin. We're talking about... What?
I go rocket launchers, you go heroin. Like,
I think your one is more damaging than mine.
If only if I fire it. Maybe scale. I just want to put it on the wall.
I could see you doing that.
Just owning a rocket launcher that never
you
gets used.
You would keep it like loaded just in case.
We digress. This is the big thing. People always do the microtransactions with cosmetics. It's the easy one to slip through.
It is.
It's not affecting the game. It's
no,
fine.
But I mean,
no, I'm that's me going.
Oh, that's is that
still
sarcasm?
Dubious. Yeah, like it's still it's a thing, right? So Activision, who do Black Ops 4, there was this big hubbub because they patent technology, and no one knows if it was ever actually implemented in a game or not. Which when someone bought a skin, it would make sure that that person then appeared in a game with someone who didn't have that or hadn't purchased it or hadn't purchased at all.
Yeah.
Thus,
making them feel like
they should. Yeah, they'd see it and go like, oh, I want that. So there was rumors that this would be implemented through Destiny 2.
Now, there has been even worse patent rumors.
Oh, yeah.
From the same company, probably from the same bunch of patents, actually, that it was a similar thing where it's like when it's not cosmetic, let's say it's a new character or a new weapon that you can purchase, that you get like match made, like the person who has that weapon or that character is match made against people who A, don't own the character, and B, are like skillfully worse than the person, so that they lose to the character and go, well, I need that, I'm gonna purchase that.
I hadn't heard about the skill thing,
right?
Oh god.
So this is the kind of slimy kind of techniques that these publishers are happy to do, right? And that's why microtransactions have such a bad rap.
I think what we need to make very clear here though is these patents exist.
doesn't mean they're no activated. Proof
they've ever been activated in
there's
a game.
There's no proof they're not, though. Like, it's such an impossible thing to there's prove,
lots
right?
Of, there's lots of, like...
Yeah, who knows, right?
That's me. That's my shrugging noise. Did we use it? Who knows? Didn't we? But this is interesting, because the original Destiny actually did this as well. When it released its first expansion, it released this thing called Tess Everest, and she had her little kiosk. Voiced by Claudia Black, which was the dastardly trick of them all, because Claudia Black's amazing, and I would buy things off her if she walked up to me in the street and said, do you want this used sandwich?
Yeah.
I'd be like, yes, Claudia Black.
Well, was it used by you?
If it was used by Claudia Black, I'd pay double. But it was received really poorly. Like, people were not happy. So they had to make it so that the currency could be earned in-game easier. They implemented it again in 2... But they did it from the beginning, but in 2, they implemented it in such a way that it actually had game advantages.
Oh.
They ended up having to remove that and change it around. And as we've kind of gotten new updates to Destiny 2, they've paired it back so it's easier to get the in-game currency without having to spend money. And I've actually not spent money on Destiny 2, whereas I did on Destiny 1.
Huh.
And I'm still getting a lot of stuff. You just need to take your time. But it's that tricky thing of like... I want the thing, and they do. The big one that I think gets people now is the seasonal event. Like,
because you've got a limited time to get the thing.
And if you don't get the thing within that time, it gone. Yeah. No thing for you.
Yeah, you'd have to wait another year, and even then, maybe not even.
Yeah, and that's not guaranteed it'll come back.
Yeah.
By then, you could have moved on to another game. By then,
Overwatch
the game
is very
could be
good
gone.
At that, aren't they?
Oh, Overwatch has got me good. They know what they're doing. I'm angry, but also, I really want that Pharah that's a ghost.
So here's a question for you, Cam. Mm. Why is it that there's this trend developing that you don't put your microtransactions in as the game launches or before launch, you put them in after?
Because people look for microtransactions when they're making a purchase of a game.
Yeah.
You get those big numbers at launch of people being like, I love this game and it doesn't have microtransactions. I want it. That's amazing. And they jump on board. And a lot of these places don't reveal that microtransactions are coming when they're doing their press junkets. All their media doesn't go, oh, and by the way, down the line, you'll
just... And sometimes they even lie about it. There have been places who are like, will this game have microtransactions? No. 1 month later,
here they
actually,
are.
Yes.
Yeah. So you hide that. You don't let people know. And it's that thing that maybe sales didn't go as well. So they keep microtransactions as a back pocket idea for revenue, I feel, in case they don't get the kind of traction they were hoping. Oh, which I think what happened with Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, potentially. I don't know. See, Sea of Thieves did quite well for itself. I think it got critically quite ragged on.
I heard that it actually hit pretty hard because a lot of people actually didn't buy it and just used the Games Pass.
Well, yeah. But that's their fault for setting up as a Games Pass game.
At launch. At like launch. Crazy.
But yeah, you're right. So microtransactions, they have this bad reputation, and developers have for the longest time had to weigh that up, right? They're like, well, do we potentially lose initial sales because we've got microtransactions and people hate them, or do we put them in anyway because we're going to get additional sales from microtransactions? You know what? Best of both worlds, we'll get all the sales right on launch, we'll get all those pre-orders coming in, and then it's only going to be after that initial rush that the microtransactions are turned on. And at that point, all the gamers already own the game, they're already invested, all the reviewers, their reviews are out there, they're not going to mark us down later down the line for microtransactions, so now is the perfect time to switch them on. And part of me is like, yeah, that seems like the best financial decision, but it's so dodgy, and I have no idea how to fix that as a problem.
The unfortunate reality is...
How do we fight against that?
You can't, because you reward the companies that tell you that they're not going to have microtransactions. You go, yeah, I'm going to support this game that doesn't do microtransactions. To have it revealed later, the only way that you can fight that is to actively not take part in the microtransactions. Look at things like Lord of the Rings, Shadow of War.
Mm.
It removed the microtransactions because of the negative backlash of them and the fact that apparently people just weren't buying them. So you've got the negative impact on your game, and then you're also not getting any revenue from it.
I'm sure they got a decent amount.
No, I hear they apparently went really poorly. Like, people really? Did not pick up on the microtransactions in that game.
Good.
Like, apparently, like, there was a real hit back on it. People got angry. People didn't buy stuff.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's the reality is in the gaming world, you can have as many opinions as you want. You can be as angry about things as you want. But if you're not voting with your wallet, you're not affecting anything.
But how do you vote with your wallet when, like...
You don't buy stuff and you convince others not to.
Yeah, but if these games are launching without microtransactions...
No, I'm saying don't take part in the microtransaction once it gets launched. Don't even go, I'll just get one.
Here's the problem with that mentality, though. The concept of whales means that, you know, 9 out of 10 people cannot purchase, but all it takes is, or even 1 in 100, all it takes is that one person to make the purchase and to make an outlandish purchase, and all of a sudden it's still worth it for the developer. So you need to get every single person on board, and that it's just never going to happen.
That is the only kind of effect you can have, because by that point they've got your money already for buying the game. You can't get that. You can't turn around if you want a refund on a game. That's not really going to affect their revenue. That affects the store that you bought it from.
Yeah,
but that doesn't. They don't get a call up and be like, "Hey, Elliot returned your game, and he cited this as the reason he returned it." Yeah. They don't care. They got your initial money. It looks good on their, all their financial reports. Like, oh, wow, you sold so much at the beginning. That's so great.
Yeah, and they do really care about those initial, opening day sales. Like, that's a big deal.
So many games now are graded by how well they do in that first, month. You know, God of War, Spider-Man, and now Red Dead Redemption 2 all received positive feedback because of how well they sold at the beginning.
Hmm.
Everyone goes, well, it can't be a bad game. It sold this many in the first week.
And here's why... For me, personally, I rag on microtransactions a lot, because you might be listening going, well, whatever, they're just cosmetic a lot of the times, just ignore them or just let people enjoy them if they enjoy them. But for me, the real big problem is when they're tied to progression. Now, we saw that in Shadow of War, and we've also seen it in a whole bunch of other games. It's happening with Call of Duty Black Ops 4, where the normal standard progression of the game, the way you unlock things, the way you advance, level up, and get rewarded for it, that is being dampened because of microtransactions. So they said in Call of Duty Black Ops 4, over 250 hours of in-game grind to get the top tier stuff. Now, there's no way without a microtransaction-filled world that they would have designed this game to require that many hours of grind.
Yeah.
The reason there's that many hours of grind is because they want to encourage people to spend real-world money, which ruins the play experience or lessens the play experience for those who want to play without paying for that stuff. We saw it in Shadow of War. The reason Rachel brought it up in her WWE 2K19 review, despite the fact that the game didn't have microtransactions, is because she saw how the game padded out content and padded out rewards and made it so obvious that this is a plan for them in the future. It's a real issue when you tie those cosmetic items to progression, because you are... If it's a reward system, then you're no longer rewarding your players like you want to.
Yeah. When your game development is affected around microtransactions, that is a problem. When you look at something like... I use these examples a lot, but...
That's okay.
Like Overwatch.
If they work.
Overwatch, it's quite easy to just get playing casually, I could get probably 10 loot boxes in a week. No problem. And it's no... I'm not grinding for them.
Mm.
I never feel like I'm grinding for a loot box.
Well, that's the good thing about Overwatch is that just the general gameplay loop is the entirety of that game.
Yeah,
it's a fun experience. That's why you're playing it.
That thing. And the loot box is kind of this added benefit. At no point did I think that anything they've done... In fact, since launch, they've made it easier to get loot boxes. So it's that thing where it's like, I don't feel like Overwatch was built with loot boxes in mind. It definitely was built with microtransactions and that future kind of revenue coming in mind, because of the fact that they continue to release all this other free content around it.
Oh, they are loving how much money they're making.
Let's not step toe around. I don't think they're suddenly the patron saint of treating gamers right.
No.
But I can see that it wasn't built that way. You know, Blizzard as a whole has a few times been called out on, it feels like you've designed your game to screw us over. And let's not forget,
Activision, Diablo. Blizzard are the one studio now.
Yeah, but I feel like the Blizzard game side of this have all gone, that's fair, let's dial it right back. You know, you look at how they changed Diablo 3 in a big way when fans went, this feels like you've built this game to make us spend real money.
Yeah.
And they went, okay, well, let's try and change that.
Yeah. And they did.
And they did.
In their defense, they fixed Diablo 3 and those glaring issues that were there from launch.
Yeah. It's just a matter of Yeah, it's when your game is being designed only to force people into this corner, that's bad game design, and you should feel bad about that.
And the sneakiness of releasing stuff after the game is released, doing that big microtransaction patch.
Pulling the rug
really
out.
That's really sneaky. It is. It's a bit of a bait and switch. It's like, and as game reviewers, which is something we do.
It's using a 10-year-old pick.
Yeah.
Did you like that? I made it about being gay again.
God, you're the worst.
I don't know how Grindr works, sorry. I've literally never used it.
But even as reviewers, like, it feels like the rug's being pulled over our eyes. It's like, oh, by the way, this game that you have, like, thrown out to your audience and said you recommend, we've changed it pretty drastically and for the worst.
Yep.
But bad luck, you've already given your recommendation. It's already out there to the world.
Like Assassin's Creed Odyssey that I just reviewed has microtransactions in it, but they were there at the beginning. They made it very clear, and it's so not anything you ever need to go into if you don't want to. And it's not forced down your throat
either.
There's
definitely better ways to handle it and bad ways to handle it.
It is a total side thing. You never have to interact with it if you don't want to. And that's the way it should be done with a lot of these games.
Anyway, that is all the time we've got. We were talking about the microtransaction patch, putting in microtransactions into a game after it's launched. Cameron, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Elliot.
Thank you. My name has been Elliot. And please join us next week, because there will be more intimate goodness coming your way.